Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Musicals taught me everything I know. It's the show where we're going to talk about some musicals and, funnily enough, the lessons that we have learned from them, because it's an educational experience in the world but also on this podcast. Are you ready? That's our live studio audience, everyone. That's how we're doing the show from now on. My name is Miranda, and I'm going to be hosting this episode, so get ready. Who knows what order the segments are going to be in today?
I just want to throw it out there. You've been hosting this these episodes for a few years now.
Yeah. And still haven't got it right. Not even once.
No, there are a few times you've got it right, and we celebrate it afterwards. Yeah. So let's hope that this is one of them.
Yeah, because I love to celebrate. There's usually cake, and I love cake. Julie, do you love cake?
I don't mind cake.
More of a pie gal.
I'm a pie gal. We know I'm a pie gal.
Yeah.
Sour cherry pie is my jam.
Ooh.
Or my pie.
Sweet. I get it. Zane?
Either or. I don't have much for sweet tooth, but yeah, all right. I'll have, if there's cake there, I'll have cake.
All right. So it looks like it's up to me and our special guest, Hayley, to eat all the cake.
Yay. Hi, I too love cake. Hi.
Woo. There you go. We're eating all the cake. These guys can go sit in a corner with their pie and, I don't know, whatever.
Pie and
I
chips.
I literally said I'd eat cake.
I would like some, like, salty chips with my pie. That would go down well.
You're appealing to me to agree with you on that, and I don't know why.
Do you want chips?
I'll have the chips and you have the pie.
Okay. Anyway, can I have one of your chips?
Sure. Hear Thank more you. Great food content. I'm sure there's a podcast on our network that talks about that.
Not yet.
Well, if you want to start a podcast, you know where to go. That's not Canon Productions. But we are going to talk about a musical today. What musical / song cycle have you brought us, Hayley?
We're going to talk about the December songs, which is a song cycle, not strictly a musical. But we can still learn things from it, hopefully.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can.
We can. Mm. We totally will. Yeah. We're going to learn about December, everybody's favourite month.
Mm. We're going to learn about snow, everyone's favourite form of ice.
Form of water.
As useful for putting in drinks, but yeah.
Have you snow. Tried?
Yeah.
It might. Would it be like a slush? I don't know. I'm from Brisbane, guys.
It would be like
snow
a slushy.
A weird.
Depending on the kind of thing. Snow.
Not the yellow snow, I hear. No. That's as far as I... It's my knowledge of snow, right?
Unless
there.
You're feeling like risky.
Now, Hayley, you have spoken with us before. Do you remember what show you brought us last time?
No. This is my first time here.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hayley's been with us before.
No. This Hayley is why I can't have around it.
I just remind you of.
Remember
else.
At the start of this episode where we were talking about the celebration cake?
I did.
It's gone.
Do I still get my chips?
But the nope.
Yes.
But the best part about this news is that we get to do the Getting to Know You quiz with my friend Hayley.
Wow.
Yay.
And I just stuck the song right there in the title.
Yeah, you sure did.
When you got a host it on and in. Do the, oh gosh, very busy. Okay, so are you ready for the quiz, Hayley?
I am.
Which musical character would other people compare you to?
Okay. I put this to the good people of Facebook and I got precisely one reply, which I'm a little sad about.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Didn't reply.
And because a lot of my friends aren't like heavily into music theatre, so they don't have a great knowledge base of like characters.
Don't make excuses for them. They're terrible people. Not only because they're not involved.
Can I guess what the one response was then? I feel like we're working up to it's something very generic.
I don't think you will.
Maria from The Sound of Music.
No.
No?
Mary Poppins.
No.
Really?
You saw it. You know what it is.
Yeah, I can't say.
I'll tell you what I was going to put on it, but first, give me your answer.
Was it Lava Girl? which I don't know if it even counts as a musical, but that's the answer I got. So that's,
I mean, there's singing
what
in
we're
there.
Going with. There is singing in there.
Oh, from the song in
Spy Kids.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
I thought that's what it was.
Like,
is there another
Shark
Lava
Boy
Girl?
And Lava Girl?
Yeah.
Which is the Taylor Lautner from.
Yeah.
Is, yeah. That's the crossover. Sings? But I thought it was Shark
Is
Boy
there another
Lava,
Lava
Girl?
Girl? Are you thinking be wrong? Yeah. I assumed it was Spy Kids.
I thought
and the
that there was
girl?
A song. No. Not from.
This is great. I'm loving it.
Great chat, guys. Great chat.
I'm going to do a
You're
quick Google.
You're thinking okay. of the song from Next to Normal.
No. It's about. It's
that's
about,
what I just said.
It's about young kids. It's not 13, but they're like, they want to like do something and one of them wants to be a superhero.
Captain Louie?
Maybe.
I do hear it in my head now. And
yeah,
they do say
right?
Lava Girl.
Let me do a quick Google. Okay. Continue on with the quiz.
I was going to put on that post Penny Pingleton from Hairspray, but then I thought you might not appreciate that.
I
so
don't mind.
Nothing.
I am happy with any and all comparisons.
I just feel like you have a very similar energy to her in your like in your positivity and the way you like to share a little bit of joy in people's lives.
Oh, that's so flattering. Thank
I
you.
Have the opposite. I have something from a musical that I hate, but I think you would do very, very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And that I've immediately forgotten who it was. Rooster's Girlfriend and Annie. Hey. Lily St. Regis. I just think it would be like, I could just like, I could see it work and it makes me happy.
I never thought
so
about that.
It's a little
that.
Bit of a mix between.
But the musical is just trash. So
yeah, all right.
Is that a problem?
Let's move on. Which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
I have a couple. I would like to be compared to Elizabeth Schuyler. To just be, you know, casual genius
sisters.
Of the Schuyler sisters.
Yes.
That
Hamilton
would be nice.
Fame, of course.
Is that a musical? Sorry.
I dare say it is. And also, can I have more than one?
Yeah, yes. Do whatever
okay,
you want.
Cool. All right, I wrote down a few options. I wasn't sure.
Here's my list of 16.
Here's my list of my preparation. Ravenclaw. Grace O'Malley from The Pirate Queen.
Ooh.
Would love to be.
We haven't had anyone give us that before.
Yeah.
No. We haven't had anyone give us Pirate Queen before.
Mm.
You're welcome back.
thanks.
You've hit Julie approval status. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to the next
It comes
question.
With a medal.
What is your dream role?
I can only have one, can I?
Yes.
Okay. If I had to pick one. No, it's okay. I'll pick one.
You can do it.
I'll follow the rules. If I had to pick one, I would say Diana Goodman from Next to Normal. Would be.
You picked a good one.
Yeah. I think I could manage that one.
And just like a real happy fun time to do over and over. That's one of those roles that I think that would be amazing to do once.
Yes, and then never do it again.
And I don't know how anybody would cope 8 shows a week in a role like that. Anyway, that's just my best
unless you just had like the best, happiest, most fun-filled, relaxing family and life outside of the show.
Yes, if everything has to be in place before you audition for that show.
Was that the show that the original cast were an actual couple?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
So they went home and they were like, "Hey."
Oof.
How you feeling?
Yeah.
I don't know how that worked, but amazing props to them. What's your favourite Sondheim show, Hayley?
Again, so hard to choose, but I'd have to say Into the Woods is
well
my
done.
Fave.
Yes, I agree with
is
you.
There a wrong answer to that question?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm sure there is. There must be.
I think we've had
has there
all
been a bad
of them.
Sondheim?
All of them. We'd have to check with Stephen. Just find
out.
Give
Steve a call.
Steven. Hi, Steve. Just wondering, I know you've been listening to every episode. Have we covered everything you've ever written? What's your go-to shower song?
Oh, I always find this question difficult. It's always what I'm working on, like as an MD, or it could be one of my choir songs, or maybe one of my own songs that I'm working on very rarely. Not one that I compose, like that I'm learning for myself, which never happens because who has time for that? At the moment, my shower song is and here comes the Nerdy Roots, Secret Tunnel from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Nice.
I'm so glad someone Secret Tunnel.
Secret Tunnel.
Secret Tunnel.
Yeah.
That is my go-to shower
song. Well, we're not going to copyright infringe on it.
Sure. No. Just this is, I'm sure those few bars are fine.
I look forward to the full and complete concert after we finish recording.
Yes, I have learnt the chords, in fact.
Okay, good. You play them in your shower on the ukulele?
Yes.
Someone should invent a shower ukulele.
You could get a plastic ones. Yeah,
but would it play if the strings were
and
wet?
And it would fill up with water too, wouldn't it?
That may not work.
Anyway, we're going to work on that as well. while Hayley tells us the musical in the whole world that should no longer exist, you have to delete a musical. Which one is it?
I don't know if this has been done.
Ooh, here we go.
I know everyone says that because it's like, I haven't listened to every episode.
No, half the people say that and half the people say, now this is going to be controversial.
No, this is, everyone will agree with this. This is not controversial. Tommy.
Oh!
I disagree.
I don't think anyone said it, if that helps you.
I think that is the first time we've had it. I can totally see where you're coming from.
I can see where you're coming from.
Garbage.
It's garbage.
It is garbage.
It's from that whole period of Broadway where they were doing different.
They were trying
things, and Tommy is like different just for the sake of being different.
100% written on. Yeah. Drugs.
Oh, absolutely.
Many kinds, but it didn't result in a productive
genius. Some things
that
I like and some things that I don't.
Happened.
Yeah. It's a recipe for success only half of the time.
Well, it really depends on who's writing it as well.
Yeah. When it's the who have already done lots of drugs.
Yeah.
This is not going to go well.
Cool. Well, you have completed the quiz. Congratulations.
I did it. Yay.
I was waiting for the applause sound effect.
I don't have. We have too much music for me to load applause in.
Well, press the button on one of them.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hayley, tell us all about the song cycle that is December Songs.
The song cycle that is December Songs.
December Songs, semicolon, the song cycle. Or is it a full colon?
I don't know if it has a subtitle.
I'm not seeing a colon
I think
all.
It's just called
no
the December
colon.
Songs.
All right.
But then like, on any album cover, it'd be like, A Song Cycle by Maura Yeston.
Ooh.
Yeah, because that's what happens.
I looked at that name, Maura Yeston, and I said, what a lovely girl's name. It's not.
No.
Maury.
For a girl.
I don't know. Maury Povich.
It sounds like Maureen to me.
It could be a good girl's
anyway,
name.
Anyway. But it is a man name.
He's a man. He is a man. He's still alive, by the way.
So no bad mouthing.
Sometimes.
Good job, Maury.
I mean, if
sometimes
we went
we
by
forget.
Those rules.
Yeah. So it was written, it was commissioned, in fact, in 1991 to celebrate the 100-year anniversary of Carnegie Hall in New York.
I mean,
happy birthday, commission, Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
This is a strange thing to commission.
Yeah, well, I think, I don't know the whole story, but I'm assuming the people who run Carnegie Hall approached Maura Yeston and were like,
what you get?
Write something. He was like, I want to write this. And they were
and
like,
all right. Okay. We've already spent the money.
Were commissioning artists to create various things. So there were some instrumental pieces.
There was a string quartet. There was a new aria.
So then it was like, let's get this guy, this Maury guy, to just put together a bit of a song for us. And Maury said, all right.
Let me show you what I got.
You're on.
Yeah. So Maury decided to write a one-person show, I guess originally a one-woman show, just for piano and voice, that was based on Schubert's Schubert's song cycle called Die Winterreise. I hope I said that right.
Winterreise.
Winterreise. Thank you.
Same as our resident German pronunciation.
Yes, I do not speak German. Lucky I have students who do, so I rely on them. Die Winterreise, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when that song cycle, that's an art song cycle, and that's based on a dude walking through a snowy, the Vienna woods, thinking of his lost love, and he slowly goes crazy.
What and a so, Debbie Downer.
Yes. So Maury was like, no, let's not have her go crazy. Let's have her just reflect on this relationship that has ended and, you know, find a new path at the end.
And so instead of the Viennese woods, it's through Central Park.
Correct. It is through Central Park.
Well, that makes it New York.
Yeah.
It reminds me of something, though. It reminds me of one episode of Absolutely Fabulous where she's trying to make her own song and she goes, I'm walking down the road, looking at the things.
Have not seen that one.
Which is actually surprisingly similar to the musical tone that this song cycle strikes.
A little bit.
But do you... To me, this feels like a strange idea to have gone, you know what Carnegie Hall needs for its birthday?
Yeah.
A song cycle about lost love in the snow that I think ends in death. Is that right?
No, it doesn't end in death.
But there's a lot of talking about...
She thinks about it.
Yeah.
So
do you think this is a concept he was kicking around that they picked up, or do you think...
They had no idea. They were blindsided by this.
We don't know. This is a guessing game.
I feel
game.
Like it was a blank check. Yeah. They just said, could you please...
Just write something.
Write something for us.
Here's
and he
an
was
approximate
like,
length.
I had this idea. Let's use this time to...
Time and money.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think that's what's happened.
Maybe he pocketed some of it. Because it's a one woman, one piano show.
Well, that's what happens when you commission something. You are
he's
paid
like,
for the time
I know,
that
but
you
he's
spend
like,
on
you
it.
Know, I could do this on the cheap. It should just be a good time, you know.
I think the performers got paid regardless of the commission check.
Yeah. Less performers.
And it was written specifically for the woman who performed it.
Yes.
In theory. So I don't know how much she had to do
Andrea
with it.
Andrea Markovici.
Yes. Yeah. Who was originally
also
a cabaret
quite good
singer.
At Italian pronunciation.
It's just a name.
Yeah. Yeah. Markovici sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he wrote it with her in mind. I don't know if she was his muse or something for any amount of time, but yeah, he wrote it with a cabaret approach in mind.
And the original Schubert was 20 songs and he cut that down. He's just like, no, just
don't
a nice
need this,
even modern 10.
Yeah. just 10.
Just you know, snipped it for the modern audience. The attention span perhaps.
You didn't snip it enough for my attention span.
I think it's a good length.
In a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it probably is enough. Long. Any other thoughts?
And I will say, like, Winterreise is also written for voice and piano.
Yes.
Like, it's not like a whole thing. But it's also based on poems.
Yes.
So Schubert based it on poems and then...
So it's a bit of an Andrew Lloyd Webber cat situation.
Sure. Like, it's the same old, like, book into movie, into musical, into movie, into comic
cycle,
book, into cabaret, et cetera, et cetera.
Would you care to walk us through the songs very, very quickly? We normally do a two-minute rundown of the plot.
Pitch.
Right?
Yes.
So we don't... There's not really...
There's not much
there's
of
not
a plot. There is. I mean, there is a journey.
Can we do a one-minute, just a short elevator ride of the 10-song rundown?
Sure. You want each song?
Are you,
I can set it, yep.
Zane's timing.
Oh, God. Okay.
So ooh. 1 minute.
1 minute.
We want to just cover everything that happens in the whole song cycle in 1 minute. On your mark, get set, go.
Okay. We start with December snow, which sets the scene. This woman's walking in the park and she's sad about her breakup that I think happened 2 years ago.
You're 10 seconds. You have 50 seconds left.
So then she thinks about where he is and doesn't want to meet him again, and then thinks about how, oh, this is so hard. she ruminates a lot on the good and bad times, has a random song about her grandmother's love letters, thinks about committing suicide, and then doesn't, and it's a relief.
Hey,
what
well,
a Literally.
That's 35 seconds.
Ha, so I did it.
Yes. 25 seconds more.
The panic in the middle there. Yes. Just really set it up. It's funny that you say random song about grandma's letters, because that's actually the one song that I felt most connected to. Like,
it's a really pretty song.
It was the song that felt like it didn't, I don't know, it can exist on its own, maybe?
It can, yes.
Is that...
Mm.
I think it's because that song in particular kind of frames a story in itself.
Yes,
so it's like, it does. I was pining about my love and I went to put it away and I found my grandmother's experiences and this is how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Whereas everything else is kind of like... We've heard the story so many times, like, I have had a failed relationship and this is how I'm feeling. And then the next song is, I've had a bad relationship and this is how I'm feeling.
And this is how I'm feeling now.
Yeah.
And I've thought about how I felt before and I've still
revised.
Feel that way. Yeah. So I'm all for storytelling and song. That's my thing.
Mm.
And I think that song cycles do one of two things. They either tell one story over the whole cycle or they tell a lot of snippets of songs, which is what we see more in things like
Edges and
I Love You,
Songs for New World.
Songs for New World was what I was thinking of. Yeah. So this one is a little bit more like classical song cycle, which is the one story
the
over.
The one overarching idea, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Where it is one character. And I think that's sort of where that cabaret concept sort of, that's what the modern take on that exact thing. And it's interesting to hear when you first start listening to it, you could really imagine it with, you know, a one woman in her, you know, stays and corset and standing next to a harpsichord and singing these songs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Toward the end, it feels like it starts to get a little bit more modern. That's maybe just me getting used to hearing it or...
It dips in and out of different styles a lot. Like,
yeah, I think everything from the fifth song, which is Bookseller in the Rain, up until about I've Had a Dream About You, that kind of feels more modern and then it kind of goes back to that more classical sounding at the end with By the River particularly.
Yeah, I would say I Am Longing, the seventh song, is where it goes back to more of a classical kind of feel. I just got such, like, Rodgers and Hammerstein feels from it, like 1950s kind of
Well, it's feels. Literally a, I am feeling a feeling.
Yeah.
Let me sing about it.
I am longing to be loved. I am longing to be loved. I am longing to be loved. And those are basically all the lyrics.
There is a lot of repetition in the lyrics. And I think that's probably another thing that makes me feel that classical interpretation or influence coming through, because that is something that would often happen in classical music and what was the thing, like parlor music.
Yeah.
That sort of level of Julie?
No comment.
Do you want to tell us anything about the music, Hayley?
Oh, I could go on and on about the music.
Feel free to go on. Just nerd. One singular on.
Oh, okay. I could talk about my favorite song in the cycle.
It.
Please.
My favorite is Bookseller in the Rain.
Which one was mine?
I really, really, really like it. Closely followed by My Grandmother's Love Letters, which was how I found this show.
Can you tell us why it's your favorite? Because those are my two favorites as well. So I'm interested on whether it's a common thing. I
really enjoy Love Letters.
Yeah.
I think Bookseller in the Rain is my least favorite song of the whole time.
Really?
I don't know. Okay. It's just that slap in the face of, here's my metaphor about a wet book.
There was a metaphor in this?
I didn't feel it was that in your face.
The end, it's like, and I am a closed book too, just to be clear.
But I liked it.
My favourite song in it is By the River, purely for the piano, like the opening sequence.
Yeah.
I'm like, tasty. And then they started singing. I was like,
it does feel less like there are two singers. Sometimes the piano takes the melody. It's not just accompaniment.
It's definitely a performance by two musicians.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. What I love about Bookseller is it has a lot of those great like speech rhythms that you, like, it was only just sort of starting to come grew a little bit. Like, this is 91. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't sort of see that until a bit later on, like with the Jason Robert Browns and things like that. I just thought, oh, wow, that sounds really contemporary for 1991. And I really enjoyed it. Nice. I really like the storytelling about just watching this bookseller, you know, and the, you know, the things happening, packing up the books with the rain. And I like the metaphor, even if it even if it is a punch in the head, I'm a closed book too.
I mean, yeah,
at the end.
I would like to hop on board here because I think musicals that either don't have a metaphor or have a metaphor that isn't clear are I don't like. I was about to say they're inherently inferior, but I feel that they are inherently inferior because I've listened to a couple musicals that, like, there's these charm songs that we
biscuits, biscuits.
that are included, and it's like if you have a charm song that isn't part of the overarching metaphor, it's pointless. Like it literally has no point. Mm. And I think
there's never room for one of those in a song cycle, though.
Correct. Yeah.
No.
There's plenty of room for that and the tap number, and, you know, in your average blockbuster musical.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll talk about this in other musicals that are coming up because I have feelings about that. But I like Bookseller in the Rain specifically because if she's talking about herself through the metaphor of the Bookseller in the Rain, at least it's not just her telling the same story over and over again like we have had in the three songs leading up to this.
Yeah, she's telling someone else's story and then linking it into her experience. I also tracked down the music because I wanted to. can I just say, the opening time signatures go on a roller coaster ride. We have some 6:16.
Uh-huh.
Some 5:16.
Uh-huh.
And some 7:16.
I often write in
7:16.
Yeah. Purely 5:16.
Yeah. Actually, I was like, ooh.
If I'm honest, I don't even really know how to count that.
As a...
It's like it's in the semi-quavers. It's silly. You would count it in 7:8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why?
I'm just going to sit here quietly.
It's written in that because the accompaniment easy in semi-quavers and he wanted to write it like that, I think, so that it was easier for the accompanist to read, I think. I'm not a musicologist.
You know who is? Maury Yeston.
He is.
Yes.
He is.
So he's described not only as a composer and lyricist, but an educator and musicologist.
Mm. Huh. Yep. He has a PhD in...
music stuff.
In music. And I was trying to remember the name of his thesis. I did read it today. It's something to do with rhythm.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is homework.
I was just fascinated by the man.
Have never and will never do.
That's okay.
So we've only done one of Maury Yeston's musicals on this show before, which was Nine.
Mm.
He's also done Titanic. Have we done Titanic? Maybe we've done Titanic as well.
I remember talking about the boat in a lake.
Yes, me yes. too.
But he's also done Phantom, Death Takes a Holiday and Grand Hotel.
Mm.
Where in that timeline does this come in? Do we know?
This comes in...
Post-Phantom Disappointment.
Post-Phantom Disappointment. Mm-hmm. Let me just have a look. So Titanic was 97, so pre-Titanic... Nine
post
was
Grand Hotel
and post Nine,
okay,
because Nine was 82.
Mm.
So Nine and Grand Hotel were both kind of quite successful.
Yeah. Well, Nine won what, 5 Tonys?
Nine did very well when it first came out and has become a bit of a
controversial.
Yeah, like some people like it, and some people it hasn't aged particularly well in some ways.
But I suppose that would be what got him his name, which got him this commission, etc.
But Grand Hotel did pretty much the same thing.
Mm.
It was received really well, and then just sort of slipped into the background. So you know, Titanic just bombed right off the bat. But it's, you know, when you listen to all those shows, Nine and Titanic particularly, there's a lot of really complex rhythms and syncopation and very wordy blah, 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 blah patter and, you know, almost that's what we now call Sondheim-esque kind of forced rhyme and
yeah.
next level clever, even when it feels a bit, oh, really? but none of that is in this.
No.
This is really simplistic musically, but complex emotionally, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, this is a spoiler for the – this is going to go in the top five later, but the accompaniment is – like nuts at times, like,
but it all comes across as it very
sounds simple.
Yeah,
but that maybe it's because I was listening to it and reading the music at the same time. But you look at it and you're like, oh damn, that is hard to play. Like, it's, there's a couple of, and he has this recurring theme of like triplets, and then they come back as semi-quaver triplets, and it's all very exciting. But you're right, it comes across as demure. Is that the right word?
It's kind of.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it doesn't come across as showy.
Particularly the main melodies, that repetition of the intervals a lot.
Yeah,
like the big same intervals. Phrase over and over. I think predictable melody as well.
Sometimes. And then sometimes it's just like, woo, big jumps.
I'm getting the wind up.
Okay, if you call it out, there's no point in me doing it silently. I'm saying we have now reached the point where we can continue.
We need to stop talking, Miranda.
At the next interval.
I want to hear more about the music.
We can learn more from Hayley in the lessons we learned.
The lessons learned segment is up next, guys. Thanks for the mini reminder, Zane.
You're very welcome.
Lessons are coming up next. So what have we learnt from Maurie Yeston, who is an educator and musicologist?
Well, I believe you've learnt a lot from the music, or that you're going to teach us about the music.
It's so exciting. Oh, just about the music?
Anything you like.
Anything
I like.
Because I learnt approximately nothing.
Aww.
I learned that... this crazy woman walking through the park is a closed book.
Oh, spew.
She's not crazy. She's sad.
She's grieving. Sad.
She's grieving.
I learned that grief has many stages, and all of them are valid, even if they are scary and confronting.
You learned that from this?
Yeah.
Aww.
Well, this is a great example of that lesson.
I learned that the song cycle was based on song cycles that are a classical thing rather than like an actual just... I've only ever really heard them referred to in the cabaret musical theatre way. So I didn't know that Schubert wrote song cycles. And yeah, that's what I learned from this.
Of course he did.
Well, okay. Yeah, now I know.
He wrote a couple.
I have learned that it's cold in December.
Did you learn that from this, though?
In the Northern Hemisphere.
In the Northern Hemisphere. Well, they talk about
this. There's a few Christmas carols that are mention it.
Oh, I learned a thing, and this is linked to the music. Even after you do a lot of thinking about something that requires a lot of emotional labor, you can still end up back at square one, which is evidenced in the final song, What a Relief, in that it has a coda that is a reprise of Let's Not Ever Say Hello and then December Snow. So it finishes right back where it started. So she's done all this...
Work. Emotional labor, yeah.
Yeah. And if finally she's like, oh, I can turn over a new leaf, I can start afresh. And then she just descends back into, I don't want to see you on the street.
Yeah.
Here I am. It's cold. Like, I am alone. Yeah. It's really... sad,
but relatable
because that can happen. You can do all this work and then you just slip back into old
habits. But turns out I don't want to just want to wallow for a bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know what I have to do now, but wallowing is number one.
And I think that's a lesson that we can learn from two songs in there, the two that I brought up before, Bookseller in the Rain and My Grandmother's Love Letters, is the way that we can teach ourselves by observing other people's stories and telling other people's stories to ourselves. Because Bookseller in the Rain is more of that, like, yes, that's a perfect metaphor for how I'm feeling. But then Grandmother's Love Letters is kind of a more optimistic view of like love has existed and exists outside of me and I could find it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it goes back into I'm so sorry. I'm so sad.
I'm so sad, yeah. So we come back to that, yeah.
Just FYI, still sad.
I think it's also a lesson in follow your heart and write whatever the hell you want to write.
Mm. Like, yeah.
This was never intended to be
a breakout,
appealing,
musical.
A yeah. Broadway musical or a Broadway thing.
Mm.
Yesen was just like, I want to write this, and he did. So
good job.
Do what you want. But especially also, people write you a blank check.
We're still talking about it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Heck. It has been performed worldwide, including in France, the UK, Germany, Holland, and my favourite, Poland.
Mm.
It has been translated into Polish. Just picture for me for a moment.
A cold
wintry day in Poland.
Yep.
And a sad Polish lady sings sad songs in Polish.
My interest.
I just feel like that's the best way to experience
it's the pinnacle
this
of this cycle.
that real Soviet sad.
Yes. Yes. Soviet era Poland.
I am a Polish book.
Yes.
And it's Polish rain.
Yes. Which is just sleet.
And my grandmother is Polish and her love letters are also.
Okay, stop now.
She sent them during the war.
During
in
the
secret.
War, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like I would appreciate that version more than the English version.
I'm not sure I have the same emotional connection to Poland that you do.
No, it's just about that shortcut to a little bit of an understanding of, I don't know, misery.
I'm sure.
I'm sure Poland is a great place to hang out these days. But
unless you're gay.
Maybe. Speaking of which,
shut that one down.
You're not wrong.
The most recent recording of this show is by a cabaret singer, Stearns Matthews, who is a gentleman.
Yes.
Yes, the first recording by man.
Yeah, I actually really prefer hearing the songs in his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've only listened to a few, but I did enjoy the different perspective that it brought.
I'm not sold on him entirely. No, I don't like it, is what I don't like. I don't like him. I don't like his voice.
Like his
I don't
voice?
Like the sound. I don't like him as a person. No, I'm joking.
Oh.
I've never met him. I'm sure he's lovely. But I do like some of the songs sung in that like female voice, mm-hmm. even though Miranda, as you said before, maybe you don't like it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Let's see if we can figure out who would be the best possible person to ever record this in our next segment called Dreamcast, Dreamcast. Zac Efron would be great in this?
No. No, in no world. No. In no world would Zac Efron have...
But what if,
would he even understand what he's singing about?
Yeah, hey, he's a smart
Please,
boy.
Yeah, don't no. insult the intelligence.
He is smart enough to quarantine in Australia, okay?
He's been chilling on the bay. Shout out to Zach.
Mm, okay, yeah. Quarantining in Australia is a far cry from delivering these songs with the emotional depth that they need in Polish or otherwise.
He might be able to speak Polish. We don't know.
Okay, I don't want to find out. So
you have seen, I see what you're doing.
Why don't you
I like this character. Good character Zane. He secretly pines for Zach.
Okay, so if Zach is unavailable though, who are we going with?
I mean, so Laura Osnes sang Maury Yeston.
Yes, I've decided you continue.
In
it's not gonna be as good as who I've decided, but continue.
In like what's that? 54. She did a cabaret of Maury Yeston songs. Mm. I mean, I think that she would do it really well.
Mm.
But I think I can actually pretty confidently say my girl Audra.
Damn it, that's what I was going to say.
Me too.
Could do this really well. She's got the classical chops. Yeah.
You know what? While we're at it, let's make her do the Schubert version instead because that's going to be a good time.
She should do double header. Double header. One concert. Yes.
34 songs. You got it.
Oh, wait, no, but.
Get ready to feel
the
sad.
Schubert is by a dude. So she could. Yeah, it'd
well,
be a concert with
Schubert has.
Zach can do the Schubert.
Oh, no. God. Butcher it.
Oh.
I'd still pay to see that because I think it's pretty funny. turns into a comedy.
Schubert had transposed it for different voices.
He had, that's right.
So it's not,
which was unusual at the time.
I have one that I actually wrote down for our next episode. Spoiler alert. Bernadette Robinson, who I love for having seen in Songs for Nobodies. She does a lot of... she comes from a... She has a brilliant voice and she does a lot of... what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Cabaret. Sounding like other people.
Oh, impersonations?
Impersonations. Impressions? Sort of. But they're not impressions. Anyway.
Mimic?
Yes and no, but okay. She comes from
in the style of
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I, watching her act, the intention would be sublime, I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can look forward to hearing her name again in next week's episode.
It is a single person cast, so it is, you can't really, there's not really a lot of like, once you've gone like I want that,
yep.
It's all right, fine. Sure. You got one person, you're good. Yeah.
Did you have a person, Hayley?
I did. Well, I had Audra and I had a couple of others. I thought Katrina Lenk would do a really nice job.
Where do I know that name from?
She did The Band's Visit.
Of course. I can't remember her voice, but I remember her name.
It is interesting. It is a very interesting timbre. I like it. And I think I am not sure if she's classically trained. But I'm sure she could handle the music.
Mm.
Yeah. And then a really left field one, Kate Miller-Heidke.
Okay.
No, I'm with you.
I could imagine
that. Yeah. I can see it. I don't hate it.
Yeah, I just thought maybe.
And entirely
I was trying to think of an Australian artist.
I do think like it would be weird for an Australian.
On the shower ukulele.
It would be weird for an Australian to sing this song because we don't have that, that snowy.
It's true.
Experience.
Well,
it's but, you know. Really hot.
Parts of Victoria. Yeah, yeah. You're right. It's not part of our Australian experience.
If you add in some stuff about apples, maybe it could be Tasmania.
All right.
Or Stanthorpe.
Okay. Yeah.
The apple cellar in the rain.
Yeah.
I am a closed apple too.
Okay. I think we can move on.
Quote of the show? No. All right. We're going to do top fives. Here we go.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Top fives.
Anybody got top five?
I got a top five.
Top five song cycle? Yeah, music theatre song cycle? We can't lump it in with classical, otherwise there's too many. Top five.
There's a lot of musical song cycles. I really want to agree with you, but I just don't.
Sure. Okay. That's fair.
I think top five single person shows, single performer, single singer.
One woman shows.
Sure. I would broaden that out to one person rather than one woman.
Top five adaptation of art music.
Sure.
Into weird cabaret music.
Can
theater hybrid.
Can you fill out that list for us?
Give me a minute.
I have a similar top five in top five works based on poems.
That's a better top five.
The only other one that I can think of off the top of my head is Wild Party.
Cats.
Both of them. Cats. Cats is okay.
But
yeah,
cats
there we
wouldn't
go.
Even go in that list. Let's be honest.
So yeah, I think it would because it is based on the poems that originally.
Yeah.
But even though but the story is different, but the themes are the same.
Correct.
Is there like a top five saddest celebration show?
Saddest celebration.
Written for a celebration, but it's real sad.
That's funny. I can't think of another one though.
Don't
know. They exist, surely.
Top 5 in 1991 written for Carnegie Hall shows.
Sure. Yeah,
there were others. We know that.
Yep.
Top 5 virtuosic accompaniments or virtuosic.
Sure, I'll give it to you because I don't
know. Score? Is it even a score if it's just for piano? Yeah, I mean, it's not virtuosic all the time, but it is some of the time.
Hayley.
I think we're stretching.
Mm.
I have a tough question for you.
Yes.
Maury Yeston has written, including this, 6 works. Is this in the top 5, Maury Yeston?
Ooh.
Who has written more than 6?
9, Titanic, Phantom, Death Takes a Holiday, and Grand Hotel.
I want to hear Grand
He's
Hotel.
Written other
and this.
Stuff. But
he
I mean,
wrote
like,
something called The Royal Family.
Yes. He also wrote a Tom Sawyer
ballet. He wrote a
ballet.
Review called Anything Can Happen in the Theatre.
Are any of those going above this? On
I would say top 5, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
I don't think this even makes my top 5. Couldn't make it through the whole album. Which is hilarious because I made it to By the River, which is second
you
to
were
last.
You were there!
Julie.
10 songs. It's shorter than most musicals.
I made it to 9.
This is not, that's 90% of musicals for you. So, like, you're saying, like, this isn't better than 90% of other musicals.
Correct.
And, like, I think even Hayley would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an acquired taste. Yeah.
I would say it's his top 5.
I think it is as well.
Top 5, Yeston.
Mm. I will say I learned because of this musical, not from this musical, that there's another Phantom.
Yes,
Phantom musical.
It is just called Phantom. Yeah, no, he got shafted by his investors. So, fun fact: he was writing the songs for Phantom. He started writing them in 1983, and then Phantom of the Opera came out. In 1986.
Mm. Got to write faster, buddy.
And his investors were like, well, sorry.
Yeah.
We're out.
And it shoved it off to regional theatre. And then it didn't get fully developed until 1991. Well, was it released in 1991?
Mm. Maybe 91. If he changed the title to Eric, he'd have more luck.
Yeah.
People are like, what is Eric?
The other Phantom.
Oh, I'm watching Phantom.
Yeah. Christine and Eric.
The also odd thing about all of that is Phantom of the Opera, which some people falsely claim is opera or operetta, and Julie has an opinion on that we've heard before. Yeston's Phantom is a lot more operetta-like in style.
Yes.
So it's actually a lot more classical than Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera.
How many samples of Pink Floyd are there in the orchestration though?
Hang on, let me just check. no mention.
Oh,
so
interesting. Well,
either
it's definitely
a lot
mentioned,
or none.
It's definitely mentioned on the Andrew Lloyd Webber page. So.
Ooh. Did you know that it happened again with Lekage?
What?
No,
it happened again. Buddy. Poor Maury. He started
poor
writing Lekage. This actually happened earlier. He started writing his version of Lekage based on the book in 1981. And then Jerry Herman's one came out in 1983 and he was like, damn it.
Okay, so everyone just tell me what you're working on.
Yeah, I can't get anything released and then other people do it better.
Oh,
it's like something rotten the musical, but
but it's his life.
He just needs a soothsayer.
Anyway.
Yeah. But at least he got Titanic out and no one wrote another Titanic. Ooh. And no one wrote another Grand Hotel.
Weren't there two?
Wait, what?
There were two. There was another Titanic concert thing. I'm sure there was.
Yeah, it does ring
a
bell.
Am I making this up?
You're ringing a bell.
And it was very close.
Yeah, right.
It's like same year or just before or just after.
Bless him.
Titanic was 97.
Zane's Googling.
We're having a Google. On the
we're
Google
having
machine.
A Google.
Well, no one wrote another Grand Hotel or a 9, so he was good there. Yes, and he wrote a ballet score. Called Tom Sawyer,
which is
a ballet
hilarious.
In 3 acts in 2011.
And the music from that is actually really interesting.
It's nice, yeah. Like, have a listen if you're in the mood for some ballet music.
Oh, no,
ballet
so
teachers,
it premiered the same year as the film Titanic. It wasn't
maybe
different.
That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, that might be
that
so again,
more famous
overshadowed by the film. Poor Maury.
Yeah, so if you want to know what Maury's up to, just check out every other release that
every
just
other
happened.
Thing. He also wrote an Alice in Wonderland musical when
Hasn't
he was
everyone.
At uni, but it never saw the light of day.
I'm okay with that.
He was really into atonal stuff at the time, so oof. It might not have been good. Would have suited the tone of the
I mean, yes, it would be a
story.
Trip, but...
Yeah. Other fun facts.
Not a trip I want to go on.
Because I just went down a rabbit hole on Maury. He wrote a cello concerto that was performed by Yo-Yo Ma.
Whoa.
That happened. That's the thing that happened.
It's very Andrew Lloyd Webber as well.
He was in the same place as Alan Menken and Howard Ashman at a musical theatre workshop.
Oh.
Where they got to try out their stuff for Broadway.
Oh, cool.
People.
He's worked with Howard Ashman as a director on something.
He has.
I'm sure I saw that.
I think Ashman directed Nine.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched... It was not mentioned in the Disney documentary. Good documentary. Highly recommend.
Yeah. And my favorite... well, not my favorite. I have so many favorites. This is a fun... Another fun fact. The last fun fact. Good grief. Is he wrote a piece called An American Cantata for Orchestra and 2,000 Voices.
Holy bajoli.
A choir of 2,000 specifically.
Singing in unison.
Yeah.
But
can you imagine 2,000 people singing in unison? That
atonally?
Yeah.
I hope it's not.
And on that note, do you have anything to plug, Hayley? Have any atonal concerts coming up?
Nothing atonal. Just... good, delicious contemporary music theatre. I am music directing Be More Chill.
Nice.
With Phoenix Ensemble down in Binley. And that opens in the last week of October. And then it runs, I think, until the second or third week of November. So,
and the little space out there is socially distanced.
It is socially distanced, so we get your tickets because it will sell out because we have half tickets available.
Small venue to start with, yes.
Yep, tiny venue to start with, only half tickets available. So,
it'll be an exclusive performance for everyone who goes. Yes. Well, thank you for sharing. Thank you for coming on and talking to us about Maury Yeston's December songs. The one thing that somebody else didn't. Oh, wait. Yeah, no, except for that Schumann guy.
Schubert?
Oh, Schubert.
Not Schumann.
Different guy.
Schubert did it a long time before Maury Yeston, though.
A long time. It's been a pleasure, and we hope to see you again. You are duly approved, which means you can come back anytime.
Yay, thank you.
Bring back Pirate Queen. Someone's been talking about that.
I just assumed it had been done.
No.
But if it hasn't been done, I will gladly talk about Pirate Queen.
And if there are any other shows that you would like us, you, the audience, and also you, Hayley, would like us to talk about on the show, please reach out to us on our socials, Facebook, Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, on Twitter and Insta, we are Musicals Teach Me. You can send us an email if it's a very long list, to musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. Someone will get back to you at some point, at some time, usually, I think. I don't know. I don't have access to the emails.
Neither
it's
do I.
Probably so. Deliberate. if you would like to send us a couple bucks a month so we can keep doing this amazing thing and producer Zane can keep producing 1,001 podcasts, chuck us a few bucks on patreon.com. We're at Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, but you can also jump onto the That's Not Canon Patreon if you want to give to the general cause rather than just to us.
Also, because we're now hosted on Acast, as is the rest of That's Not Canon, there will be a link in the show notes if you just want to give us a once-off payment rather than committing to be a patron.
We loved this particular episode donation.
Yes, so you can just find that in the episode notes of every episode.
Every single episode. Yeah. Woo. Sorry, I got too excited. I think that's it. Have I done all of the things?
Mm-hmm.
In the right order, yes.
Yeah, woo!
Well done.
There were a few mistakes at the top, but can I have half the cake?
Yes.
I'll order the cake now.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, Julie Eisentrager.
You're more than
for
welcome.
For being on this episode and also ordering the cake. Thank you very much, Nancy Weber, for pushing the buttons.
Thank
mine
you very
and
much.
On that machine. My name is Miranda Selwood. And lastly, thank you to our wonderful guest, Hayley Marsh.
Hayley. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Gollum has an unhealthy obsession about some bit of jewelry.
Doesn't even know this is what the precious is. Stupid therapist.
Cookie Monster's a bit of a stress eater.
Cookie, cookie, cookie!
And homicidal robots really just want their best friend back.
I know I did and said things that she regrets, but why is that my problem?
But what all these monsters really need is therapy. The podcast Therapy for Monsters finally puts monsters in a therapy chair with a real therapist. Me, Tim, your friendly neighborhood therapist. If you'd like to learn a bit and laugh a bit, check out Therapy for Monsters on your favorite podcast app.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.